Listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we're broadcasting on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Kutsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolo First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship, without which we can't even make the show. My name is Leslie. Today, I'm bringing you part two of my conversation with Gal and Melody, who are the co-founders of Chinatown Together. Chinatown Together is an anti-gentrification, cultural revitalization grassroots organization, running events in Vancouver's Chinatown to get people to become interested in Chinatown, look beyond the stigma behind the way that people talk about Chinatown, and also get them engaged with the anti-gentrification organizing and cultural revitalization aspects that many folks are trying to do in the area. Part one is up on cjsf.ca right now in our archive on the Typically Tuesdays files. And if you missed that episode, that was last week's show. But today on the program, we are diving into part two, where Gal and Melody are sharing their insights about culture and gentrification in Chinatown, and as well tourism. And how people frame Chinatown and how people can actually go and support their Chinatowns. It's a very exciting episode, and there's so much to learn. I hope you are primed and ready to get right into it. Before that, we're going to listen to some music. This is a local band, Self Care, with Places. And after that, we'll be listening to a conversation with Gal and Melody and me about Chinatown Together and Chinatown. Here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Stick around.
But forever was it deep there in my memories. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, if you're just joining us, you're tuned into Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. I am Leslie, and I've been talking to the co-founders of Chinatown Together, a grassroots organization putting together culturally appropriate and relevant events for Chinatown to resist against gentrification. Let's talk a little bit about this phenomenon about living in a very weird city that is quite heavily gentrified. I wanted to know a little bit more because you're a very new organization, right? Like, Melody, I think you mentioned earlier, you basically started, well, you've been doing events for quite a while, but as an organization with a name and a brand and an image, you started in fall of 2023. And as you know, lively and abundant with people, your events can get. Chinatown Together is actually quite a small team, at the moment, anyways. So I wanted to know a little bit about what it's like to be this new and small grassroots organization, putting on events that are really, really involved in a city that's increasingly making public spaces inaccessible and even cutting down on a lot of, like, public amenities. That's the word. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Melody, you want to go first?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've already done one round of this in 2018 as the producer of public events in Chinatown in public spaces, and then fast forward to 2023-2024. In 2018, there were a lot more forms, a lot more bureaucracy that we had to go through just to host a simple event in a public space, which is supposed to be the living room of a neighborhood. Since then, the city has streamlined some of those processes so that we no longer need to apply for our own insurance, or that the permits will come within a week or 2 weeks. So there are a lot of positives in terms of what Vancouver has done as a city to make it more friendlier for people to activate public spaces, ironically. But at the same time, it could also be tough too. So just a week, 2 weeks ago, we were putting on our variety show, our Chinatown variety show. It's a talent show for the community with over almost 30 people who were performing. And then there was a food corner with an auntie who's selling wonton and a youth that's selling tofu dessert. And we were expecting a lot of people to be there. Last minute, like less than a week before the event, we got told that actually there's a mysterious, massive film production coming to Chinatown and you guys can't use that space anymore, despite having a permit for a month ahead of the event. We got kicked out of a public space doing community work for the event. And the city told us that, oh, we'll bring millions and millions of dollars to the city. It will, you know, the BIA will get a kickback. It'll be great for the neighborhood. And frankly, you guys don't pay, so you can be kicked off and pushed out at any time anyways. So that was extremely frustrating to kind of hear that the city and experience that the city actually don't prioritize community activating public spaces for the community, and that we were displaced. And, you know, when film companies come and they displace workplaces, they displace residents, there's usually some form of recognition for that. And in our case, it was just like, well, you know, you're off on your own until they finally, oh, you know, we complain. And they're like, well, okay, maybe we'll assist you to find an alternate space. So it all worked out at the end, but we're still, you know, when there's a disruption like that, it really impacts us because we're really a small team. Like Gal leads all the event operations and I kind of assist on some of the administration, but it's extremely disruptive. And we were both very sick at that time. So on top of that, it got even worse. And this isn't the first time it's happened in terms of the city or city and civic institution displacing community from public space doing events. I was talking to folks at the Bitters Project this morning, and they were also displaced because of a J-Lo film from a Victory Square event that they were hosting down there. That was their big coffee cup event, and that was just several years ago. Last year, Yarrow got displaced from the Sun Yat-sen courtyard by the Parks Board with less than like 24 hours or something for an accessible lion dance workshop that they were doing with seniors. So time and time again, we see like if you have money to pay for the space, you are prioritized over community using public space for the public. And it's just disappointing. And, you know, there's got to be some way to assure community that if they have booked a space, that they can use that space, because the impact on communicating to seniors, to low-income folks, to folks who don't have digital access means, and also the impacts on the organizers is a lot. And I don't think the city currently recognizes that. It makes it easy for us to put on events in public spaces without that risk.
I've always, as the events lead as well, I've noticed that like the theme of what keeps occurring to us is like we're getting gatekept, and I think the conclusion I came to is pretty obvious to everyone, but I'm so deep in the organizing. I'm like, why are we continually being gatekept out of spaces? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? And honestly, it's the fact that gatekeeping and gentrification go hand in hand together. I always say I say it's like the two G's. And unfortunately, like, yeah, when we are being gatekept out of spaces and our work is inherently anti-gentrification, but gatekeeping is hand in hand with gentrification, that's more reason for like entities I shall not name that are happy to keep us out of these spaces, because we're going against their wishes of really tearing down Chinatown and just building inaccessible, unaffordable spaces, and further displacing our already very vibrant, very alive population of residents and legacy businesses. Back to our variety show, the problem was that a lot of these changes were very last minute. Like we were working hard till the final hours, and unfortunately we couldn't update a lot of our seniors, because some of these seniors, our outreach team would have to meet them in person somewhere. There's no way to communicate otherwise. Some of these seniors, like they live in a bunch of different spaces. It's not like I can go to one senior home, let the seniors know, and that's it. I've actually noticed that like some seniors that we usually see at our events weren't there at variety show, which was quite upsetting for me, because I know that they would have enjoyed it. They really love arts and culture, and seeing like a diverse group of like young to old people performing would have been so much fun for them. And I think some people ended up going to the Memorial Plaza, which was our original location, and then there's a film crew there, which is why we were kicked out. And they were talking to the film crew, and the film crew did not know what was going on, so there was no way to redirect them over to us.
That is so true, bestie. I really have to say, like, with regards to like getting organized, even just doing sometimes even just like a nothing event, like sometimes it could just be like you're in your team of volunteers like having a picnic or something like that. If you are a small grassroots organization and like you need space, you need to ask for permission to use a space. Sometimes the people who say yes, use the space, they will come to your event and then kick you out, right? Like, it's certainly, unfortunately, not an uncommon experience for a lot of grassroots organizations. And I'm very, very sorry to hear that there have been so many barriers, particularly with regards to, I would really agree with you, Gal, the fact that, like, you guys are trying to raise awareness about gentrification and pushing against it, and it just so happens to be that the people who may not care so much about the issue of gentrification, to put very lightly, are also the people who are ignorant enough to be like, okay, sorry, you can't be here. And you can't be here because, like, you don't have the thing that we need, which is the money. That is certainly unfortunate.
Chinatown Together and a lot of these grassroots organizations in Chinatown that continue hosting events and being present, it shows that, like, even if we lost to 105 Kiefer, you can't really silence us. And the spirit of Chinatown is here. It's Yeet Lao, as I said, and as you've referenced. And also just continuing the fight and showing that there is life. Because one thing I really dislike is that the argument that why Chinatown needs to be gentrified is, it's so dead here. You know, there's nothing going on. It's so dirty. And I'm like, no, if you properly appreciated the community, walked through, interacted with the businesses, the people, it's actually really wonderful. I really enjoy walking through Chinatown and being able to see so many people I recognize, and we just say hello as we're going about our day. And I feel like a lot of our volunteers and regular attendees have felt that too. I have noticed a lot of people have made very, very meaningful connections. And the fact that people are supporting us, either as attendees or volunteers, means that we're going to keep going, no matter how gatekept we are. And one more thing about gatekeeping, earlier this year with the parade, that was a big one. And we got gatekept out, even though we were invited to join and apply. And end of day, it made news that a lot of people came to support us. And I think that's, I don't know about Melody, but that's when I knew that we were going to be okay, because there are good people out there that did not see why spaces and events were being made inaccessible for us, and people wanted to support us, and we grew from that. Say we are like bamboo. We continue to grow through adversity.
I want to put a note in that, or put a pin in that comment that you made about, like, how some people who are supporting the kind of, like, gentrification of Chinatown, they believe that Chinatown is dead. I'll put a pin in that because I want to share a story about that towards the end. I want to ask a little bit from the perspective of somebody who may not be super familiar with Chinatown. And I know, Gal, you and I have talked about this pretty extensively before, previously on a different episode of Typically Tuesdays. What should people who want to support Chinatown's residents and businesses know about Chinatown?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, watch the Big Fight in Little Chinatown film. I think that has been a really good kind of gateway into really understanding Chinatown in a deeper way, hearing the voices. So that's one thing I would recommend. It's online, or come to any of our film screenings and actually also hear from the residents and business owners and community members. We find that that has been very useful for people to gain an initial deeper understanding, and then just come to our events. Chinatown Together has been that first point where people have been able to not just enjoy the arts and culture, but also the people and, you know, be in community with the elders, be in community with Chinatown activists and youth and actually co-create art together in many of our workshop, not just witness. And that's been a highlight that folks have provided feedback on, is that they are able to have that exchange, that human to human exchange that has given them more insight into what Chinatown is and who is part of Chinatown. And also, like, don't go to some of the usual spots that are highlighted in tourism booklets or sites. Swallow the Elder, she has a really funny saying, like, even in a neighborhood, there's an east side and a west side, and the west side is usually more expensive and the east side is like a bit cheaper. And so in Chinatown, the east and west is like the what it like Main Street is the divider. So if you are on west side, you have more the tourist catering businesses. And in the east side, everything is just like a little bit cheaper. And that's where a lot of the locals go. So Gal loves to go to the Boss. I usually take people to Maxim's for any lunch meetings because it's quiet there upstairs. There's a bakery and most people don't know about it. There was this whole like hidden gems thing that people were meme about Vancouver, and I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna post a picture of Maxim's upstairs and say hashtag hidden gems, and then people are like, wow, that's an actual hidden gems, like you waited until the person who was making this meme is, you know, out of the country, and now you give us a actual hidden gem. And I've also, you know, taken tourists and non-even residents to one of my favorite bakeries, which is Jiao Ma or Gampong in Chinese. And they're just this tiny little, like, half a store bakery, but it's been there forever. And they supply all of our buns for events. And I find it's really interesting, like, if you can speak to the owners and folks who are operating the stores, they're really friendly and they're happy to chat with you too, and it gives them a highlight of the day. I remember one time I was in Maxim's and it was pretty quiet there, and someone decided to start singing like a Chinese song. And the entire kitchen and service staff all joined in with them. And it's just like this type of moment where, you know, Chinatown is kind of like a community center into itself and community living room. And unfortunately, many of these places are disappearing. But if you look hard enough and you wander into those places that are usually invisible, that's where the life is, and that's where the people hang out. And I, you know, there's a lot of people from outside of Chinatown who would be like, oh, Chinatown is dead, there's nothing that goes on in these buildings anyways. And I'm like, no, if you go in every nook and cranny and go up the stairs, there are entire parties going on, people playing mahjong, people playing ping pong, people reading, people socializing, having lunch together. And when I do bring some folks to those places, even the ones who live in Strathcona for a very long time or feel like they have just entered another world that, you know, they haven't seen before. And I think we just need to all look a little bit harder and go beyond, you know, the top 10 lists of places to go in Chinatown, because really there are actual hidden gems there. And it's the businesses, it's the people, and they're worth supporting.
That's why I feel like coming to Chinatown Together events is your like first step if you're shy. Because I'm pretty shy. I'm a little like shy of exploring sometimes. But once you come to Chinatown Together, you can chat with like me and Melody. We're like there all the time. And these events happen 2 times every month at minimum. So, you know, there's always an opportunity to come. And yeah, I drew a zine about like you know, Chinatown beyond tourism, and I noted down some of my favorite places, and where you go, what they're for, And I feel like there's something for everyone. There's like a lot of shops that I feel people might want to go to buy just some like housewares. And if you go anywhere else, it's like three times the price. I mean, like it's only beneficial for everyone, like the buyer, the shop, and just the community in general. I remember with one of Chinatown residents, Cindy, she was really excited to like have us try her wontons. And so we had a time to meet with her on a really hot day. And she came out, we met up, and we tried the wontons. They were great. And she had a lot, but we were also very full because we had a meal beforehand. So we started calling a bunch of people. I knew an artist that worked nearby who like ran out of her studio to come have some wontons, and we're all just sitting on the streets. And then a lot of people were just walking by, and we're like, "Hey, you want to try some wontons?" And people were happy to try it, and they're like, "Oh, it's really good. Like, did you make it? Like, well, why are you guys giving out wontons?" And we're like, "Oh, we're gonna like do an event for like wonton wrapping workshop, and this is just like a little sampler." And it was just nice. Like, I would say, when people come to Chinatown, stick around for a little bit longer. Observe just a little bit more and like be a little less shy. I know it's really hard, the shy aspect, because it's the difference between, if I have to do a metaphor, going into a store to just browse for items, and then you maybe find the item you need, you buy it, and then you leave, versus going into a store that maybe the owner of the store is like, "Hey, what's up? How are you? What would you like to buy? Blah, blah." And you chat with them, and then you have an actual conversation. Like, maybe the store owner is like, "Oh, are you like, what made you come in today?" And then you ask, like, "How long have you had the store open?" Like, it's meaningful, and you walk away with a more human connection. I get why tourism is a talking point for some people in terms of revitalizing Chinatown. However, I think it's very short-sighted to state that tourism is the one and only thing to really save Chinatown, because tourism can only go so far. Tourism is what? A photo, a walkthrough, reading maybe one or two things about the space you're at, which are still valuable things. But other than that, what stops tourism from becoming a performance of Chinese culture? And I feel like we're not a performance. We aren't a dead Chinatown. We aren't here to dance for money. And I strongly resent this mentality that pushes tourism so hard that we're supposed to perform for money. Because we're not. We have a thriving community. We have an economy. People should engage meaningfully. And people shouldn't push tourism so hard that shuns people from actually entering a shop and interacting a shop. We're more than a gift shop. We're more than, a garden that you look at. We're more than, a gallery or a museum. We are living, It's sad because if you go to the Chinese Canadian Museum, there's so much about the people that used to be alive, the culture that used to be alive. And it's like, what about now? Why are we not living in the present as well?